Well, I desire your prayers. I'd like to start tonight with a verse in the fourth chapter of Jeremiah, in the 14th verse, and I do desire your prayers. It says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shalt thou thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? That sounds like to me that the Lord's wanting to deal with more than just the outward parts of a person. The Lord seemed like he touched on two different ideas there. One was the heart, and the other was the thoughts. And I think that gets way down in there, don't it? That's really where it's what we are and where we're at. And the first thing he said to him, O Jerusalem, wash. Wash thine heart from wickedness. I think that whatever we desire to do for the Lord today or our any ambitions we have for the Lord, I think that that is the first step that we need to take. Wash thine heart from wickedness. Make sure that there is nothing defiling about my life. Make sure that I'm clean before the Lord. And he goes on here, though, and this is my thought tonight. He makes this statement, How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Vain thoughts. Sounds to me like that the Lord was saying to them, this is not a passing thought or just a thought, but it sounds like he's talking about the state of things, the state of a person's thoughts. And he's also saying the idea of lodging there. It sounds like a permanent, more of a permanent state. You got something in your thinking. Man's thinking so faulty. Lord, help us tonight to realize man's thoughts are so faulty. Now, the big news of the week has been, if you've paid attention to our national news, they've talked a lot about the incident down in the Gulf. And probably everyone's heard about it, but they had a little accident down there. There was an oil rig that exploded down there in the Gulf and killed a few people, and it ended up being quite a leak. And my understanding, it was almost a mile deep, 5,000 feet deep down in there. And so they have a dilemma on their hands, got a problem. A lot of pollution coming out of there, it's going to change a lot of things around there, and so they need to do something about it. What would you have done? Now, I find it almost impossible to think that people that work in this industry hasn't thought of the possibility that this might happen. I know that they've thought about it at times, what they do and all. Well, what if this would happen? I'm sure they've thought about it. And they've tried a number of things to do it, and they've failed and all that. And it kind of, at one point, I got to thinking, I don't think anybody knows. I think there was a lot of human thought and a lot of human reasoning and a lot of calculations and this could and this might and figuring all this. And I can say this about life, our lives, things like that happen. You can't do anything without, or maybe you can't, I can't do anything of any magnitude at all that something don't go wrong with it. Somewhere or sometime, something goes wrong with my life all the time. And places that, I'll be honest with you, I run up with it real quick. I don't know what to do. I just really don't know what to do. I think a lot of their efforts, by what I heard, a lot of their thinking and a lot of their efforts was vain. It didn't do the job. It didn't come up with what they thought that it would do or thought that it would work. And I'm just bringing that out tonight to say that you and I are pretty incapable of taking care of the problems of our life. This was, of course, something that happened in this earth and in this worldly way of doing it. It'll be over one day. I know that. You know it too. If the Lord tarries, this thing will be over and gone with, and we'll run into the next disaster in a little while, something else that we can't handle. But I tell you, we need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us to develop the Lord's thinking versus our own thinking. Because if we ain't very careful, we'll make the very mistakes that people of industry make, these people make, actually assuming or presuming that they have the answers to all the problems. Anything that can happen, they can have the answers to it. Maybe somewhere around the line they figure out some things, but there's a lot of damage done in the meantime with it. And oh, how badly we need the Lord. And right here in 2010, we need a leader. Not just somebody that we put up, but we need the leader of our souls. Individually, every one of us here tonight need a leader. We need somebody that knows how to fix the problems. I'm going to tell you, this world is just as polluting. It's what that is down there. There is a design in our world today to pollute us. It comes from all over the place, and the idea is that it pollutes us. And the question was asked here to these people. If you've ever looked at Jeremiah much, you'll understand that in the day of Jeremiah, the children of Israel was away from God. And this was God's attempt through Jeremiah to get something to them. When you read the whole book, you'll find out that God was using Jeremiah to reveal things to them and try to help them to come back to God and be the people that he wanted them to be. And this is the kind of language he uses a lot, because they wasn't doing that. They was continuing along with their own ideas and their own thinking. And he was saying here to them in this day and time, you think in vain. And one of the things that they were thinking at that time, they thought that they were secure. That was the vanity that he was talking about here. They was convinced that they were secure. Oh, don't be deceived tonight. You will not get by with wrong in this life. You won't do it. And yet we go on many times, and I see it quite often, of people that feel like that it won't happen to me. And I can handle things that generations before couldn't handle. I can handle things that history has proved you can't handle. But I can handle it. I'm secure where I'm at. And this is what they was thinking. And they had vain thoughts that I'm secure. I'll say this to you tonight. I think Adam and Eve had vain thoughts. They had very vain thoughts. They looked and said, outside of what God had told them, they thought that they could get by with what they was going to do. Or at least Eve did, didn't she? She looked at that and said, when the devil tempted her and said, well, look at this. This is something. You know, she ended up saying, well, it is something to be desired. And the thought process went totally out of God thought. God had already revealed to them his thought. God thought. God's thought and knowledge was, if you eat of this, you're going to die. Then human thought come into it. Satan brings his thought in, and then human reasoning takes over and begins to look at it and say, you know, I can get by with this. I'm not looking any farther than right here. Vain human thoughts never allows a person to see any more than what these eyes can see. Never realizes, you know, that somewhere down, no matter what I do, no matter what choice I make in life, somewhere down the road, there's going to be a result to that. There will be a result. Sometimes it looks so easy. We plant the smallest of seeds, but seeds grow. It's the nature of a seed. Whatever the seed is it's going to come out in that. And we can go and plant the smallest of seeds sometimes. Take the smallest of things. Where does the road go? Lord, help us tonight. Where does the road of our choices go? Where does it take us? Jeremiah was interested in that. He was saying to the people here, through the Lord was interested through telling through Jeremiah, how long are you going to, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge a state of thought that this is all okay? You see anything changing? Have you noticed change in your lifetime? Have you perceived things going in a way that isn't something you would want? Have you noticed any of that at all? Have the directions of things around you and about around you? My burden for a while has been, will you go also? Jesus said to his disciples, these had went away, and he looked at his disciples and said, will you go also? Are you going to go to the same thought as the world's gone? You going to go to the same pot? Or you say no. I'd say, give me a show of hands, that most hands would say no. No. But I noticed that everyone that has said, no, I'm not going. And it brings a burden upon my heart that we would be in a position to hold what God has given us. A position to hold what God's thought is. Not what human thought is, but what God thought is. How long, Israel, how long? How long are you going to, this vain thoughts are going to lodge in you? How long are you going to go on thinking that I'm secured? No matter what I do, it can't happen to me. It won't happen to me. I can't be taken by the landslide of this world's thinking. I can't be touched by it. I'm oblivious to it. I'm out there with all of it. I'm going to tell you, I believe that we live in a kind of time that it's going to take a real firmness, a real steadiness, a real heart and mind for God to keep us. I believe there's going to be things that comes in our generation, in our time, that's going to shake us all right down to the bottom. And I think that only those that are thinking God's ways. How often somebody will look at circumstances and say, God can't be in it. That's what they told Job. Human reasoning, see, came in. God was right in that thing with Job. All the way through. Never got out of it. But the human reasoning came along and said, this ain't the way God works. This ain't the way God works. God don't do things like this. Job, you've done something wrong. You're out of the way here. You know, God's thinking was altogether different than what human thinking was. You know what they was thinking? They was thinking vain things. They wasn't understanding and perceiving the idea of God. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Would God allow this United States of America to fail? Has he ever done it before? I'm not saying to America. I'm saying, has he ever done it in the world before? Yes, he has. Would he do it again? Yes, he would. Are we going to be able to perceive and understand the moves of God in our day and time? Now, you remember the scripture where Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, you hypocrites, you can discern the signs. You can look in the skies red in the evenings and you say, it'll be a storm's coming. And you can look and perceive the sky in the morning and say, it's a fair day. And make decisions about it. Who would go out in a fishing boat with a storm coming? Nobody would. And you make decisions based on the idea that here is coming something that I can't handle. My boat won't handle it. I'll die if I go out there. And I make decisions, I won't go out there. And then I can look and say the skies are good and make a choice. This is a day to fish. It's a day to get gain. It's a day to go and work and make decisions that way in my life. And he said, you hypocrites. You're the very people that should be discerning that this is the day of the Lord. That the Son of God has come into your midst. You should be able to look at the signs that are around you and see what's going on. And I say again to us, Lord, help us. Because things are changing. And I don't want to see anybody lost. I don't want to see anybody swept away by the tides of the world that are around us that's so ungodly. But I want to tell you, it's going to take something to stand. And it's not going to be at the hand of somebody else beside you. We're to support one another and help one another, but you know what I'm talking about. It ain't going to be held by just the ideas that's always held. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a relationship with the Lord. Knowing what the Lord is and what He does. I'm going to tell you, back during 9/11, you know, that was tragic. There was a preacher out in the world that came through at that time, and he said that whole thing could have possibly been because God wanted to wake up America. God allowed that, and He wanted to wake up the United States because they was letting in so much filthiness into it. There was this homosexual agendas and all these agendas that's out there, this anti-God abortion and all this. And there was a preacher that up and said it, had the nerve to up and say something like that. And boy, did he get shot down quick. They started coming in and how dare and say God is doing that and say He's punishing people or He's bringing this to pass. And it wasn't long before he backed up. He said, I'm sorry, I made a statement like that. And I was thinking, don't do it. Don't back up on it. There's a history of God down that line. All through the scriptures, you see where God was tried and used things to wake people up. We think sometime if God's going to do something, you're going to see some great miracle that don't happen in nature. That's not the way God works. Look in the scripture and you'll see He worked through wars. He worked through downfalls of nations. He worked through natural events. Couldn't Job just turn around and said, there's no God in this. It all happened by selection. There was nothing divine looking about a bunch of people, barbarians coming out of the mountains and killing, taking his stuff. That was natural enough, wasn't it? You know, God was in all that. He was in every bit of it. After Katrina, there was a minister that said, New Orleans, such a sinful place. Oh, they mock God. And he alluded to the idea that God could have allowed that. And people hollered, foul, foul. You can't say that. That's wrong to say. Would God do it? It's not human thought. It's God thought. The vanity that, I'm going to tell you, we need to learn that, or I should say I need to learn, that I'm not the greatest thing walking. I'm not the gift to this planet. That's vanity. That's vanity to think that everything rotates around me and my life. That's the way we'll think. We'll run our life that way. It's not. That's vain. It's vain for me to follow my own passion and desires. It's vain. Lord, help us tonight. There is something I believe that the people of God need to be warned against. We need to have for ourselves a dynamic relationship with the Lord. A knowledge of who we are, where we're at, and something that I'm going to stand on no matter what. I've been taught of the Lord something. I don't care if all the world goes into undress. I will not go. I will stand right where I'm standing because God's there. It's God thought for me. It's God's revelation to my heart that I will not go down that way. I will love my fellow man even if hatred is everywhere. I'll do it because it's God thought. It's God's revelation to my heart. I will not go down the line of hatred. None of it. I won't go down that way. Oh, yeah, how long will these vain thoughts lodge? A state of our thinking. Not just a passing thought, but the state of our thinking. He was saying here to them, how long are you going to stay and think this way? You're thinking in filthiness. What you should be thinking is in being clean. Wash up. Think in this line. Think of what God thinks of the things that are around you. You ever wonder what God thinks of what you think? We should always think. We should always be aware of what God thinks of what I'm thinking. Because if I ain't very careful, I'll be thinking what's so natural for me to think, human thoughts and human ways. And I'll miss the whole concept sometimes. I'll miss the whole plan of God for a situation. God, a God-designed place in our lives that God wants to get glory. God wants to raise us up. God wants to bless somebody with salvation. And what do? We think man thought. We think vanity. How dare they? How dare they cross me? Me, in all my importance, how dare they cross me? And God ordained a place for somebody to cross you. That the glory of God be seen, that they might bring salvation to somebody's life. What is our greatest purpose of thought? That the gospel of Christ be taken to all the world. Lord, help us tonight. I want to look at another scripture. It's over in Psalms 119. In verse 113. The psalmist writing said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I think he was making an obvious contrast between the two. I don't think they can abide together. I hate vain thoughts. He was talking here about the idea of double-mindedness. I think over in the first chapter of James, it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Leaning, going to one and then the other without resolution, without firmness, without a solid footing, without being secure in what they believe. And he says, I hate every vain thought, because vain thoughts are against God's law. What does God's law? The writer said, I love God's law. Lord, help us tonight to love God's law. What God has said, what God's intentions are in our life. We know God is holy. God is pure. Why would he want any less of his people? It's what he is, what he desires for us to be. He wants our thoughts to be as his thoughts. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind was that? He was humble, wasn't he? He was giving. He was willing to humble himself down and do the work of God and have God's life in him, God's thoughts. And there was so much that he could have went against, but he didn't. That wasn't his thought. Let this mind, let your thoughts be the same kind of thoughts of the things that are around. I don't want to miss my opportunities, but I'll be honest with you, in my life, I've known times where God set up things for me in my life, and I thought my way right on through them and never got the purpose of God until I was past it and realized that I had missed the point that God had for me in my life. You remember the scripture that talked about a man that his fields brought forth plentifully? It was blessed. He was a rich man to begin with. And he had planted fields and they brought forth plentifully. And now there comes an idea. What do you do with the prosperity? We still live in a very prosperous time. What do you do with the prosperity given to you? This man looked at the idea of the prosperity put into his hands, and he said, well, I know what I'll do. After thought and consideration of life and knowledge of understandings of the way things work in life, What do you got to do with something? You can let it rot in the field, but that seems senseless. I could let the birds eat it, right, those things. But he learned something through life, and it set his pattern of thinking, and he said, I'm going to have to do something, so I know what I'll do. Only in his mind did he perceive this whole idea. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger barns. Well, I ask you tonight, is it not logical? Is it not practical? What, are you just going to crowd what you can in your little barns, and what are you going to do with the rest of it? You got to do something. It sounds practical to my mind if you need bigger barns to build them. It was practical to his mind. That wasn't what got him in trouble. The idea of the barns wasn't what got him in trouble. But his human vanity. His human vanity got him in trouble. That's what got him in trouble. He had lodged it. He had a lodged vanity in his heart, in his thinking. He had, his state of being was vanity. And he couldn't see beyond it. He couldn't see the purpose of God in his life. And so he decided he'd build, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And that would conclude, and he said a very vain thing. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, take thy ease, for you have much laid up for many years. How many people have left this world with the idea of many years? How many car wrecks have taken young people out into eternity with the hope of all their life ahead of them? They had lodged a vain thought in their heart. And Lord, help us tonight, because we are capable of the same kind of thing. He said, I have much laid up for many years. It must have felt real good to have been blessed to that kind of place in that kind of time that he lived in, to not have to worry about anything for many years. But the Lord interrupted this scene, didn't he? With reality. With reality. And he said to this man, thou fool. Thou fool. Because you've seen the proper course of human life. And you saw what would make you comfortable in life. And you've made the preparations in your own heart and mind to get you there. But what did you end up with? This night, your soul's required of thee. No building bigger barns. No harvesting the bounty of his fields. He had thought vain thoughts. He had established in his heart, Lord, help us tonight, that there's no state of vanity in our lives, no place of not understanding. Tonight, we ought to have our hearts fixed on God, because it's the only thing that matters. Well, it won't happen to me. How many people have said, it won't happen to me. It's impossible for me to die on my way home tonight. It's impossible that tragedy will strike my life. It's impossible that tomorrow I feel the first pains of a cancer that will take my life. I'm just being real. How many vain thoughts have run through people's minds and missed the whole idea of what God had in mind for their life? The psalmist said, I know why he said it. I hate all vain thoughts. I know why he said it. Because they take something away from the experience of God. That's why he said it. I hate all vain. He was talking about violence and people that work violence and people that stole the peace and people that was secure in their own lives, that wouldn't make a move to do anything that was right. Those kind of things. And he looked at it and said, I hate all the thoughts of vanity. Because they are in a contrast between that and loving the law of God. They wrestle with it. They take from it. Lord, help us tonight to learn how to love God with all our hearts. I'm going to tell you, I believe that this is such an answer to our problems. All of them. You got an oil leak. You got pollution coming into your life and you don't know what to do with it. I know what the answer is. It's not human thinking that's going to solve it. It's not going to be human thinking that cleans it up. Oh, they didn't touch around the surface on it. New Year's resolutions, if you got the fortitude to hold them sometimes, you can lose a few pounds that way. You're going to make a little better life if you can handle it that way. But I'm going to tell you, you can't really clean it up, because it takes it from the inside. It takes God working something in our lives. Oh, how many marriages do you suppose is destroyed tonight over vain thoughts? Vain thoughts. Putting an importance on something that has no importance on it to your life at all. Making myself more important than the one I claim to love. That's not Jesus' thought. That's human thought. I'll get all I can get out of this regardless of what else. That's earthly thinking. This time of year there's graduations all over the land, and many of them, I've been to many of them, and many of them says to your young people, you are the controller of your own destiny. Really? Is that true? Well, we do have something to do with it. I can see that. I know choices we make in life and that kind of thing. But I don't really think people are in control of their own destinies. I think there's a God in heaven. I think there is a plan already laid down. I think that God's in control. I think to teach people that you're in control of your own destiny is a vain thought. You can do. I've heard this over and over. Young person, you can do whatever you set your heart to do. Oh, can you really now? You think you can? Because the Apostle Paul had a different opinion. He said without Jesus that he could do nothing. I think Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Paul said the same kind of language. It takes the Lord to do it. Those are vain thoughts, and they come in and the world's trying to steal our minds. In our hearts. And he comes in with many questions about in life, and says things like, what difference does these things make? You don't have to do that. Have you ever heard that argument? You don't have to do that. That's a little too particular, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken, God's a very particular God. Go back and read what he told him to do with the tabernacle. Read about the ark. He was pretty specific in how to build it. You can build it any way you want to, but if you want it to float, build it like the Lord told you to. Then it's going to take all of the storm that comes. Well, here's how I want you to build the tabernacle. Build it any way you want to. But there come a time that God descended down into it. And you can build it however you want to. But you can't get God to descend in it. But you want to have it till God will be pleased with it. Folks, we're going to have to do it God's way. We're going to have God thought. And I have lived long enough now. And I want to tell you, I love every one of you. I have a real love for the people of God. To a thrill, I do. And I don't want anyone to be lost. I don't want anyone to be lost. And my burden is tonight, get a hold of God till it's real. Be firm. Be solid. Know. Know in your own heart that I will stay with you, Lord, in what you've taught my soul. Regardless of how it scatters, regardless of who does what, regardless of all of it, Lord, I am with you right through it all. Lord, by your grace, I've seen the failures of my own life, and I'll admit it, but by your grace, I intend to run this thing right on out to the end of my life. I want to see what the end of this thing's like. I want to know what it's like for the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful all the way to the end. I want to be able to show the grace of God. No man owns holiness. It's something of God. It's a part of God. And he said, be ye therefore holy, for I, the Lord thy God, is holy. I said, why would I want to be anything else? It makes me want to tighten up. It makes me want to have something that makes me secure. Is it possible, as wicked and as defiled as this world's getting, that a person can withstand it? Yes, by the grace of God. Is it possible to be swept away? Is it possible to change your mind? I ask it in the fear of God. Can your mind be changed? I've seen better men than I am get their minds changed. Could it happen to me? Oh, Lord, help me. Help me not to entertain the vanity of worldly thought, the vanity of human thought. I'd save myself if I could. I just don't know how. I don't know how to do it. It's going to have to be God to do it. I'm going to have to submit myself into the thinking of God. So, Lord, help us tonight. A good question is, Lord, where do I stand? How do I stand before you? Lord, do I have what it takes to be able to withstand it? Do I have the goods? You know what the Lord's so faithful to do in our lives? To send us that thing that we don't want to even admit God. You know what I mean? Is that God? Yep. That's God. Oh, a lot of times we say the devil. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you something. It was the devil that did that to Job. It was God that let the devil do that to Job. Behind the devil's every work is the hand of God, because he can only do what God tells him, allows him to do in life. And a lot of things that we will not accept in the course of our lives, that this possibly could be God dealing with my soul. God wanting to help me change my thoughts to God thoughts. The scripture says, his ways are above our ways, as the heaven is above the earth. So is God's thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. I need to have God's thoughts in my life. Lord, help us. I pray tonight that every one of us here will have a relationship with the Lord that will take us through what I will guarantee you will be the storms of the years to come if the Lord tarries and leaves us here. There's going to be some shakings and some turns, and there's going to be some things that's going to be hard to endure. But God's promised that he'd be with us to the end, all the way to the end of the world. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to say this. It's not God that leaves. Old brother up home used to say quite often, said a fellow said to him, said, I can't feel God anymore. This old fellow said, who moved? And God didn't go nowhere. If there's a reason why you're not with God, it ain't God's fault. He's right where you left him at. He's right where he's always been. Don't leave him. Lord, help us tonight to think God thoughts. Help us to be where God is wanting to be. Someone asked me recently, said, Brother Marty, are you willing to change? And I said, no. Because I know what yes, I'm willing to change anything about me that's not like God. But are you willing to change? I changed 24 years ago, thank the Lord. And I'm not willing to change back. What I left forever. I ain't no intentions of changing back to what I'd already left. The thing that defiled me, I'm not going back to. I don't want it back. I desire God's grace to be able to go forth. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.